Wisconsin Wax Program. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Company with Jim Jordan as Fibber, Donald Novis, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with This Is It. Here's a bit of advice to women who want to keep young. Don't wear yourself out scrubbing floors, or you'll be old before your time. Save yourself all this unnecessary back-breaking work by protecting your linoleum and floors with Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Once your floors are wearing a bright glow coat polish, they won't need scrubbing. Dirt cannot become embedded in this shining surface. A dry duster or a damp cloth will quickly take away all dirt and stains. Johnson's Glow Coat is making life pleasanter for millions of housewives. So why not adopt this easy Glow Coat method of keeping all your floors beautiful and spotless? Remember, you don't have to do any rubbing or buffing when you use Johnson's Glow Coat. Just apply and let dry. Johnson's Glow Coat gives your floors and linoleum a lovely, shining polish while you sit back and watch. But be sure you get the real thing. GLO-COAT, Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Bitter cold wintry day in Wistful Vista. The snow is 2 feet deep on the level, and in places it has drifted 4 or 5 feet deep, and that's also on the level. And here in the living room, bundled up in his heavy overcoat, mittens, and earmuffs, we find Fibber. There's cold in them thar halls, McGee.
Boy, am I cold. I ain't had such a chill since I asked the bank for that last loan. And snowed in, too. I'm macarooned. That coal I ordered don't get here pretty quick. I'll get it. What do I mean, I'll get it? I'm the only one here. Except I've only been snowbound overnight, and here I am talking to myself. Admiral Burt, or Fibber McGee speaking. Who? The Wistful Vista Coal Company. Well, say, where's my coal? Huh? You're all sold out. Well, I ordered it just as soon as this storm started. Oh, so did everybody else, huh? Well, make it as snappy as you can, bud. Okay. Fine state of how do you do. Furnace out. Water pipes frozen. Well, must be some Eskimo magazine salesman working his way through Blubber College. Come in. Welcome to the Shea Frostbite, bud. What can I do for you?
Is this for the McGee joint?
Yes, it is, bud. I'm Fibber McGee, in person, 3 sweaters, 2 shirts, and an overcoat.
Well, did you call up a plumber to come and thaw out the pint?
I think you better go to work on your own. You better get busy right away, too, bud.
What are you talking about?
That's fun.
I ain't the plumber, though, you see.
Oh.
He just asked me to stop by and leave his tool.
Oh, I see.
And he'll be over later. Oh, so long.
Well, he left enough tools. Maybe he thought I wanted him to fix Boulder Dam. I never saw so many.
Hello there, Johnny. How'd you like to have your sidewalk shoveled off?
I certainly would, old-timer.
Hey!
I says, yes, I would.
So would I. Who can we get to do it?
Say, did you ever see such chilly weather?
The groundhog must have come out and seen Boris Karloff's shadow.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to the other feller, "See," he says, "see, see, it's cold in here, Johnny. Why don't you build a fire?"
"I can't, old-timer. My coal bin is emptier than a campaign promise."
"Oh, that's different. See, see? What's the biggest bird in the world? Search me," admits t'other feller. "It's an ostrich, ain't it?" "Nope," chortles the first feller. "It's a Bronx cheer from a U-bangy." "I knew a U-bangy gal once, Johnny. Every time she'd pout, three people had to get out of the room."
"That's enough of your lip, old-timer. Say, do something for me, will you?"
"Eh?"
"Do something for me. Go to the basement and see if you can start a fire. Chop something up if you have to."
"I'll do it, Johnny. Which way is the basement?"
"Underneath the house. Well, we used to have it up on the roof, but it was too far for the mice to walk."
"Don't get snippy, Johnny. Remember, I'm twice your age."
"Yeah, but you're only half my size." "Go on, get busy."
"All righty."
"That guy's finally going to be useful. Boy, am I cool. Wonder if Mrs. Uppington had loaned me a couple of scuttles of coal. I'll try her. Hello, operator. Give me Wistful Bit. Oh, is that you, Mert?" "How's things, Mert?" "Sure is cold, isn't it? Say, Mert, can you see that statue of General Grant from your window? Well, take a look and see if he's got his hands in his pockets." "Huh? Huh?" "He's got down off his horse and is stamping around, huh?" "Boy, it's colder than I thought. Hey, give me Mrs. Uppington, will you, Mert? Thanks. Hello, is that you, Uppy? Trevor McGee speaking. Huh? Talk a little louder, will you, Uppy? I got my earmuffs on. Yeah, say, how about lending me a couple of buckets of coal till they deliver mine? Huh? Oh, I see. Oh, well, thanks anyway. Chuck, she would have an oil furnace." "Well, let's see. Oh, hi, Don. Hello, Billy.
Hello, Trevor. Hi.
Well, there's no use stepping on that radiator, fellas. There's no fire. My coal bin is a has-been."
"Can't you build a fire with some old wood or boxes or something, Fibber?
Why don't you burn up some of your old scripts, or are they still too damp?"
All right. I got the old timer downstairs now trying to find some kindling. My water pipes are frozen, too, so I hope we get the fire started pretty quick. Can you sing something, Don, or does your breath steam so much you can't see the music?"
"No, I can manage it. How about I Have Eyes?"
"Oh, that'll be swell. You sing that while..." "Excuse me. Hello? Yeah, this is Mr. McGee. The plumbing shop? Huh? What do you mean the plumber went to the hockey game? He was supposed to come over and thaw these pipes out. Huh? He did? Oh, for the... Fellas, you've just heard history being made."
"Why, what's the matter, Fibber?"
"The plumber sent his tools over and forgot to come himself." "Now I got to run down to the water company and tell them to send a man out."
"Why don't you call him up?"
"Oh, no. It's too cold in here. I'm going to go out for a while into the nice, warm blizzard. Go ahead, Don. I Have Eyes."
"I have eyes to see with, but they see only you. For you have eyes that put the very stars to shame. What else am I to do when you have lived that fill my very soul with flame? Tonight you're here to me in a light bright as day, but you're so dear to me, I can see you even more. yet when we're apart, I close my eyes and see with my
I done right by letting you sing out here in this blizzard, Don. I shouldn't expose you to the elements like this.
What was that?
That's that new sound man. He thought I said elephant. Elements, Joe.
I'm sorry.
That's better. Well, this is as far as I go, fellas. Here's the water company, though it's probably the ice company now. I'll see you later.
Who'd you want to see?
I want to see somebody about my water pipes being froze.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. We don't do that type of work. If you want your pipes frozen, you'll have to go elsewhere.
But that if they are frozen, I want them thawed out.
Oh, I see. How long have they been frozen, sir?
All night and all morning.
Well, don't worry, then. They say a man can go 3 days without water.
I suppose if I really got a hump on myself, I could go 7. Who's the manager of this water company, sis?
Mr. Van Meter. Just a minute. I'll see if he's here with the director's meeting.
All right, boys. Heads, we declare a dividend this year. Tails, we don't. Ready?
Ready.
Heads, shall we declare the dividend, gentlemen? Or shall we make it 2 out of 3?
Mr. Van Meter's still in the director's meeting, sir. Will you wait?
Yeah, I'll wait. You might want to draw a straw to see how much they raise the rate of all the dumb things.
Excuse me, sir. Whistle Vista Water Company. What is it, madam? Oh, there's a fish caught in your water pipe. Well, turn the faucet again in half an hour, madam. We'll send you a slice of lemon.
Oh, that's nice service. You can't send a chicken through my water pipes about Sunday, can you, sis? I could use them.
Miss Cadwell. Anyone wanting to see me?
Me, Bud. I want to talk to you.
Certainly, certainly. Just step into my office.
Okay, Bud.
Now then, sit right down, sir. Have a cigar.
Thanks, I got one.
You got two? thanks very much. Now, what was it, please?
My water pipes are froze up.
Is that so? Due to the cold weather, I presume.
That's a slick deduction, Bud. I'll bet you make your own valentines the way you cut right to the heart of things.
Very good, very good. Let me check over your account, Mr. McGee.
Incidentally, Bud, that water meter you got in my house runs awful fast. Who installed that thing, the boyfriend of the Whirling Dervish?
I don't think so, no. Oh, here's your account, McGee.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed. You can forget about your pipes freezing up, McGee.
What do you mean?
Your water was shut off yesterday for non-payment.
Oh.
The bill is $12.42.
Well, $12.42? Hey, the name is Mr. McGee, Bud, not Mississippi.
That's the bill, McGee. When you pay up, we turn on the water.
Okay, I'll pay it. Here you are. $12.40. This is the first time I've ever been held up at the point of a faucet. You certainly make a fine manager of a water company, you big drip. $12.42. Why, for that dough, I could buy the Mediterranean Sea with Gibraltar thrown in for a rock garden. All of that.
Well, how do you do, Mr. McGee?
Ooh, hi, Mr. Duffington. Kind of a raw day for you to be out, ain't it, Duffy?
Oh, no, indeed. I don't mind it a bit, really. Horatio says. Oh, that silly boy. He is so sentimental. But Horatio says, this weather puts roses in my teeth. Isn't that romantic?
Where is old Boomer?
Come here, Mr. McGee. He's gone to buy me a valentine.
Oh.
Oh, isn't that sweet? And such an expensive one, too. $50.
$50?
Yes, yes. Just for a valentine. He must think a dreadful lot of me.
Oh, yes.
And really, it embarrassed the poor boy so much when he borrowed the money from me. He had left his checkbook at the hotel, you know.
Oh, yes.
Oh my, I was deeply touched.
I'll say you were. One of the deepest touches I ever heard of.
Ah, Horatio is so impulsive, you know.
Oh,
so boyish and unaffected.
Oh,
and he simply adores beautiful things.
Detail.
Why, do you know, when I'm wearing my emerald necklace, he can hardly keep his hands off my throat. Oh, dear. So now you see why I don't mind the cold weather, Mr. McGee.
Oh, yes.
I have my love to keep me warm. Oh, my, I am such a happy, happy girl. Well, goodbye. Goodbye.
Slap happy girl. She's got her love to keep her warm. Old Boomer, the deadbeat of her heart. I wonder if I ought to tell her what a chiseler Boomer is. Well, hey, what's this?
Whoa there, no rup. Whoa, no bup. Hi there, Fibber. Can I give you a lift?
No, thanks, Oppo. I'm too cold. I got to walk to keep warm. Where are you going in the cutter?
Oh, I'm delivering valentines.
You mean all that stuff there in the back there is valentines there? How many sweethearts do you got?
Oh, thousands.
Huh?
I love every housewife who uses Johnson's Glow Coat. The easy to use, no rubbing polish that shines as it dries.
I know. Let's see one of them there valentines, bud.
Okay. Here, read this.
Oh, you hold it. I got my mittens on.
All right.
My heart is at your feet, my sweet. You're the one that I adore. May our course of love be bright and smooth as the Glow Coat on your floor. Say, that ain't bad, Harpo.
Oh, read the next verse.
Okay, hold it still.
All right.
If you could take a shine to me, to you I'll bring a shine that's a joy to you. So don't refuse to be my valentine. Signed, F.C. Johnson & Son, Racine, Wisconsin. Per Cupid Wilcox.
Well, do you like it, Fibber?
Yeah, it's all right, but ain't you a little large for a Cupid, Harpo?
Where's your wing? Oh, I can't wear them anymore. They grounded me for stunting too close to a blonde. You sure I can't give you a lift, Fibber?
No, thanks. You slay me as it is.
Okay, pal, I'll see you later. Get up there, no rub. Get up, no bump.
Great guy, Harpo. He even come over and put Johnson's wax on my grandfather's clock so I wouldn't have a dull moment. Boy, it's cold. Now that I got my water turned on again, I better be getting home and see how the old man is getting along with the fire. I won't have any hot water for my cold shower tomorrow morning.
Well, for shame's sake, hello there, Fizzer.
Oh, hi, Nick. Yeah, it was chilly, ain't it? Where are you going with the ice skates, Nick?
Oh, some of my kids are learning to teach me how to be a winter sportsmanship. And believe me, Fizzer, I'm learning how to skate from the bottom up, if I know what you mean.
Well, I have a rough idea. You have a wonderful time with them six kids of yours, don't you, Nick?
Oh, sure. They're a good bunch of twiggies. As I was saying to Mrs. DePopulis at breakfast this morning, Mrs. DePopulis, I'm saying, while she is scraping the pieces of toast so loud, I can't hear yourself kidding. Mrs. DePopulis, I'm saying, and then she's going out in the kitchen for a jar of marmalade. Mrs. DePopulis, I'm hollering.
Well, what were you hollering?
Well, by that time, I'm being so exasperated, I don't know what I am saying to you. Well, I've got to be on your way because the kids are meeting me over at the rating scheme.
Skating ring. So you're going to be a figure skater, are you?
Well, I wouldn't go so far away as to say that, Caesar. Figure skating is a pretty complicated proposition. I don't think I'm ever being a world champion, Mom, but I will be next best because my runners are always up. You grab me? Well, so long, Fisher. If I don't see you again in the next week or so, what difference does it make?
Boy, boy, it's cold. Oh, hi, Billy.
Hello, Fibber. Still pretty cold, isn't it?
Oh, I'll say it is. Some kids had built a snowman up the street, and when I come by, he was blowing on his hand. You got a number you can play till I get home, Billy?
Sure. How about the four notes in the band and sing for your supper?
Well, go ahead, Billy. Sing for your supper.
Supper cooked up by Billy Mills and dished out by the Four Notes. Say, it seems to be a little warmer in this house now. We just put that line in to show I'm home again, folks. Pretty subtle technique, I called it. Incidentally, I wonder what that old duffer found to build a fire with. I'll go down and have a look. Ah, just read it. Why don't people stay home on a day like this? Come in.
Ah, there, Goose Flash, good day.
What's good about it? What do you want?
I was on my way over to Mrs. Uppington's, and I thought I'd stop in here a minute to get warm. My mistake. It's colder in here than it is outside.
Well, I can't imagine you wanting to go anyplace where the heat was on, Boomer. And another thing, I know all about you borrowing $50 from Mrs. Uppington to buy her a Valentine, too, besides.
Charming girl, Mrs. Uppington. I'm afraid I'm head over checkbook in love with a dear girl.
I'm afraid she is with you, too.
By the way, Skimpy, I hear the lovely creature has a large trust fund laid away. Is there any truth in that beautiful rumor, or am I being stung again by a will-o'-the-wasp?
You're just after her money, and she'd know it if she was a little brighter.
Sir, you're speaking of the woman I love.
Come off the high horse, Boomer, before it throws you. And another thing, she's going to be awful hurt if you don't come through with that $50 Valentine.
You know that, don't you?
Certainly, certainly. Wouldn't cause her a moment's distress, not a moment.
Oh.
If I had to put that $50 into a worthy charity, the Horatio K. Boomer Home for Old and Infirm Horatio K. Boomer. Then I wrote her a valentine myself.
Yeah, I can imagine you writing a valentine. Roses are red and violets are blue. This is wrote on the back of an IOU.
That's very good, Thackeray. Very good. Let me show you mine. Let me see now. Where did I put that valentine? Have it here someplace. Valentine, valentine. Here's a finger ring with a sharp point for marking cards. I have an unfortunate heredity, small fry. My family came to this country in the steerage, and I grew up with a weakness for the bottom of the deck. Steamship ticket to Venezuela. Lovely country, no extradition. Here's a bill for my tailor. Ignorant fellow, can't even spell reprobate. And a check for a short beer. Well, well, no valentine, imagine that. Well, I guess I can talk my way out of it. Nothing like a silver tongue to engrave a little sentiment on a heart of gold. Very staunch. Must run along and see the dear girl before I forget it. Good day, Pogo Stick.
Pogo Stick. That guy's such a double dealer, he could play himself a game of cribbage. Say, the heat's coming up here all right. The old man must have found some kindling. I'll go down and see. Hey, old-timer. I'm home again. Did you get a fire built okay? Wonder if he's gone. Hey, old-timer, you down here? Why, that old duffer built a fire and didn't even stay to enjoy it. Hey, what's this? My golf bag. Uh-huh, and empty, too. Well, now I know what to use for kindling. My tool chest all chopped up. And what's this pile of wood here? Well, what do you know about that? There's that golden oak dresser out of my bedroom. Why, oh, well, I might as well put on some more wood and make a good fire.
How? That furnace door is hot.
Come on in, Johnny, but don't hold that door open. It's the first time I've been warm in 2 days.
Awesome.
Fibber will be back in just a moment. And now here's an announcement that you won't want to miss. Your dealer is offering, for a limited time only, Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat in giant-size cans. You pay no more for the giant-size cans than for the regular sizes. Yet you get one-third more. Now it's your opportunity to save money on your purchases of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Glow Coat. But I repeat, the supply of the giant sizes is strictly limited. They're selling fast, and if you don't act quickly, you may miss out. Remember, you pay for only 1 pint or 1 pound of Johnson's Glow Coat or Johnson's Wax, paste or liquid, and you get one-third more without cost. Johnson offers you this extra dividend in appreciation of your loyalty to the Johnson product. Be sure to ask your dealer tomorrow for Johnson's Wax or Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat in the giant-size can, and you'll be money ahead.
Well, folks, I ain't got the old timer out of the furnace yet, but I'm going to have Boomer come back a little later and shake him down. The old clinker. Excuse me, folks. Hello? Oh, Zazu Pitt. Hi, Zazu. You got our valentine, huh? Oh, shucks, that was nothing. What you doing next week, Toots? Well, why don't you ask your ma, can you come over to our house and play? You can? Oh, that's swell. Well, I'll see you Tuesday, then. Okay, Zazu. So long. Good night, folks.
This is Harlan. Carlo Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company.